Hello again. Welcome to the program. We continue in 2 Timothy, God's Church Manual. Chapter 1 tells us what we need to think. Chapter 2, what we need to be. What we need to know in Chapter 3, and what we need to do in Chapter 4. We're going to listen to this same message and song once again in this series. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. Let's be teachable. Let's sincerely make this our prayer today.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way, teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea. Thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon power, teach me thy love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest. Leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through Savior nigh. Teach me to live, to die, saved by thy grace.
Well, we begin here in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 3. Paul said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now, endure thou. Thou, who? Pastor Timothy. It's a job description here for the pastor. To endure is to suffer something painful or difficult patiently. Boy, there's a job description that they don't teach at too many Bible colleges. It's what we need to be learning about, especially in this age in which we live in. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness. 2 Timothy 2:10, endure all things. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time has come they will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 2:5, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction. And 2:9, I'd suffer trouble, Paul said, as an evildoer, even unto bounds. So, endure, Pastor, hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I fought a fight. I finished my course. So he said, previous to that, in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the grace of God. Acts 20, he said, I just want to finish my course. 2 Timothy 4:5, he said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Well, verse 4, the pastor's endurance race. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. This is written to the pastor concerning his warfare in keeping the church doctrine and the church philosophy of ministry in line with the scripture. Now, our philosophy is how we do what we're supposed to do. We need to do God's will, but we need to do it God's way. In 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul said to the pastor, this charge I commit unto thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. Now, there's two battlefronts for the pastor. This war is not the same war referred to in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, where Paul talked about casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is a very important warfare, and it's against the world, the flesh, and the devil. In Ephesians 6:12, he speaks of the same warfare, where he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the battleground, he said, in this particular situation, we have a war on false doctrine. The warfare in 1 Timothy 1:18, where we read, he said, this charge I commit unto thee, Timothy, that thou mightest war a good warfare, had to do with a war against false doctrine that was filtering into the local church. Now it's not filtering in today. It's coming in like a flood. In the context of this warfare, Paul referred to Hymenaeus and Alexander, who he said, I have delivered unto Satan, that they might learn not to blaspheme. As previously mentioned, when Jesus dealt with those who were promoting false doctrine in his Father's house, he took a whip to them. Now, we're not suggesting you do that, but one thing we know about Jesus, he did not compromise the word of God by holding meetings with those who promoted false teachings in the temple. Nobody had a problem understanding where Jesus stood on the subject of sound doctrine or Bible separation. And they should not have a problem understanding where the pastor stands today. Nehemiah, good example here, he said, I contended with the rulers. He said, I set them in their place. He said, I testified against them. I contended with the nobles. Then I testified against them. Then, and he said, if ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. And then in Nehemiah 13:21, all of these are in chapter 13 of Nehemiah. He said, from that time forth, they came no more. I wonder why God put that in his Bible, huh? I don't think he wants us laying hands. He's not talking here about an ordination service. I contended with the rulers. I set them in their place. I testified against them. I contended with the nobles. I testified against them. If you do this again, he said, I'll lay hands on you. And from that time forth, they came no more. There's a lesson here. I don't think, we should lay hands on people and punch them out like that. That's it. However, Nehemiah is better doing that than sitting around compromising with those false teachers. Oh, well. Verse 2 and 5. 2 Timothy 2:5. If any man strive for masteries. Now he's talking about an athlete. Yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. 1 Peter 5:4 speaks of a crown that is reserved for the faithful pastor. He says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown. Now the context of that is verse 1, they're suffering for Christ and they're feeding the flock of God. In other words, you just don't put a sign on the door that says, hey, at pastor's office here. No, suffering, feeding. There's more to getting that crown than having a sign, as they said, on the office door that says pastor. I remember when I was first saved, I was 12 years old, I went to a Baptist church and I saw the pastor's, there was a door there that said pastor's study. Well, we've changed that now. It's not pastor's study anymore, it's pastor's office. Why? We don't concern about study, we're administrators. We have an office, we want to do it like the world does it. Paul said the pastor would not be crowned except he strive lawfully. Look at here. What does it say in verse 5? Yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And so, strive lawfully, finish the course, keep the faith. Boy, that's going down the tube lately. Yeah, dump the plan of salvation even. Say, well, you don't have to repent. You just have to believe. That is a false doctrine from hell. That's not keeping the faith. Well, he said, because I have strived lawfully, and I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Then he talks about the pastor as a husbandman, a farmer. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And so Jesus used the same analogy in chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 of John. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now God demands a healthy harvest. Isaiah 5 and 4, we read what God said in Isaiah's day. What could have been done more in my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. The result of the husband's disobedience is plainly given to us here. Isaiah 5:5, and now go to. I will tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Sounds like our local churches today. There was a time when we were doing things God's way, doing God's will God's way, that God gave us a harvest. And now we preach the same message as we used to preach 25 years ago, and people look at us like, you want me to walk an aisle? What's that? You want me to make a decision? I thought this was just something we do for 3 hours a week. Yeah, we're really good Christians. We even come on a midweek meeting. Yeah, a whole lot more to it than that. And so now, like Isaiah 5 and 5, God says, yeah, you can plow and you can plant, but I'm going to rain no rain upon it. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Think carefully about something. That's what it means to consider. Thinking carefully about something, then taking a course of action. Now, the Bible says, same word, consider, translated perceive here. Are ye also without are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive, Jesus said? Not much perception going on today. Consider what I say. 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul said, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. He said, consider what I say. Think about the warfare of a soldier. Think about the discipline demanded for the athlete. And think about the patient hard work of the farmer. There is much more to being a faithful pastor than having 3 meetings a week. All things, Paul continued, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. In 2 Timothy 4:5, Paul said, in all things endure afflictions. Second Timothy, in Titus rather, 2:7, he said, all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Well, we got quite a bit here to digest this, pastors. Let's go through it again and then say as we go, teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart, grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best, in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Savior nigh, teach me to